This is Alex Medford from Denver, Colorado, coming to you from sunny Maui, Hawaii, and you're listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast.
Hello, hockey fans from around the world. I am Richard Cote, the producer of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. It is the second line edition of the podcast, and you know what that means. It means where, oh, where has our little Canadian gone? We are shorthanded this week, but to make up for it, on the PK, I bring you Dr. Lou Lafredo from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Lou, how are you doing?
I'm doing terrific today. Earlier in the week, we were talking about a pre-show, took the sixth COVID-19 vaccine jab, and let's just say I was hoping to open up my guitar case that has a coffin motif. I was going to crawl in it, close it up, and then that's where I was going to be the rest of the week. But doing absolutely terrific today. I'd rather this than getting a COVID infection. So,
yeah.
Thanks. How about yourself?
Oh, you know what? Doing fine here. Had a little bit of a cold earlier this week. So, listeners, I apologize if I sound still a little stuffed up, but I am, cleared up a lot since Tuesday. Fairly minor, but, you know, still kept me out of action, out of work that day. But we shall continue. Jacob Doherty is out, seeking employment right now. Told us before the recording that he had a job interview. So good luck, Jacob. I hope it goes well for you. And Lou, we really need to start paying him more. That way he's not seeking employment elsewhere.
Right after I take my dime.
That's a dime we could give to Jacob. Do you know how much that is in Canadian exchange?
That's 12 cents. Jacob, it'll be in the mail tomorrow.
Listeners, this episode is brought to you by My Custom Sports Chair. Head over to mycustomsportschair.com. Enter in the code PHN15 to save yourself 15% off your order. You can get the nicest Adirondack chair that you could ever put together. Put your very own logo, put your team's logo on it, put our podcast logo on it. Whatever you want, they will make it, and it will complete the fan cave that you have always dreamed of. Again, thanks to my custom sports chair for being a sponsor of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. All right, a little bit of a rant before we start getting into hockey news. I'm going to admit this, and I don't feel so great about it. Being a native New Mexican, earlier this week, we had taco night for dinner here at the Cote household. And I'm no stranger to this. I know I make my own seasonings. I know how to do this. I know the routine. This is, you know, kind of a weekly thing for us. I mean, this is part of my heritage. I screwed up bad. Not with the meat, not with the seasoning. That was all fine. I failed on the rice. We always have some sort of Spanish rice, Mexican rice, you know. Usually it's in a bag because it's quick and it's, you know, after work. It's the basics of what we could put together. We always have one sitting in the pantry. So I get home, I start making dinner, and we have none. We were out. I go back to my childhood and my mom's old remedy of just white rice and salsa. Sure. I had the white rice, but I remember our son is not the biggest fan of spice, so I couldn't really mix in the salsa to get the good, you know, last minute Mexican rice that you would always want. I didn't even have like a can of roasted tomatoes to put into the rice. So that was just for me a personal utter failure as a native New Mexican. It's just, I can't let that ever happen again. So that's my rant. I just had to get that off my chest. It's I failed as a New Mexican. So I will be crawling back in a couple of weeks to beg for forgiveness in the land of enchantment. Speaking of the land of enchantment, Lou, I'm going to turn it over to you. We have do you hear those pipes blowing, those drums beating? It's time for Bangers and Mash.
And funny you should say that. In about 5 weeks, I'm going to be playing at a Celtic festival here out on Balloon Fiesta Park, May 4th and 5th. So if you're in town, stop by, catch the pipes, and a few bands on the side.
All right.
But speaking of bangers and mash, we've had an interesting 2 weeks since the last time we met. Not interesting in terms of who's at the top of the table, but the rest of the battles that have been going on in the EIHL over the last 2 weeks. Just to take it from the top, the Sheffield Steelers remain at the top spot on the table with 79 points through 47 games. They had a chance to clinch the second piece of silverware since the last time we met. The first one being the Challenge Cup that was held last week, where Sheffield defeated the Guildford Flames. I believe the final score was 3-1. So the Challenge Cup silverware sits with Sheffield, and they are one win away from clinching the regular season championship. And they have a winning percentage of 84% this season, which is just stunning. And what's really stunning about it is the Cardiff Devils come in 10 points behind them with the same number of games. The Cardiff Devils have a winning percentage of 73%, and they're not in first place. That is what is just – that's what makes the Sheffield Steelers record so staggering, I think, at this point. So those two teams have at least clinched playoff berths so far. Coming in the third spot are the Belfast Giants, who have also clinched the spot with 60 points through 47 games, and they committed a lowly 64% winning percentage.
Wow.
The numbers are staggering. And right now in the fourth spot of the Manchester Storm, they're coming in with 53 points. But they are being challenged by the Guildford Flames, who are sit 1 point behind them for the fourth spot. One of the interesting battles, as we were talking about in the pre-show, is what's happening down at the bottom of the table, in particular teams that are trying to get into that eighth spot. The Dundee Stars lost today to the Glasgow Clan 8-5, just as we were coming on air. That game went final. And so with a win, the Dundee Stars would have vaulted themselves into the seventh spot and dropped the Fife Flyers down into the ninth position. But right now, the ninth and tenth slots in the EIHL are occupied by the Dundee Stars and Nottingham Panthers. And we all know the issues with Nottingham this season, getting off to a slow start, and then having, you know, those issues in January, and then not really ever recovering, I think, emotionally from that. But it has been an exciting season, and I'm looking forward to the last couple of weeks down the stretch here. But the next thing is Sheffield receiving the second piece of hardware, regular season trophy, and then we're off to the playoffs. And we'll try and explain the playoff system at a later date. It's a home and home set, and the winners go on to the next round by aggregate score. But in the meantime, Richard, that is bangers and mash for this week.
Yeah, you know, that playoff format I might actually prefer compared to what the AHL does in their bracket for their for their playoff. We're going to get to that in just a minute. It's utterly confusing, and I don't know why the league still does that, but it makes sense to them. I guess it makes sense to the fans. I don't know if they really have a choice in that. Anyway, let's get looking at what's happening here in the North American continent. Let's look at the ECHL, or the Eastern Hockey League, as it used to be called. Probably still is, but nobody really calls it that anymore. All right, let's take a look at the Eastern Conference in the North Division. Top four teams advance to the playoffs, so that's a simple format. AHL, take note. In the number one spot in the North Division, we have the Adirondack Thunder with 82 points, the Norfolk Admirals in the number two spot with 76 points, In the number three spot, we have the Newfoundland Growlers with 62 points and the Maine Mariners in that number four spot with 59 points. The Trois-Vieux Lions on the outside looking in with 58 points, so they are on the bubble. Looking at the South Division, the Greensville Swamp Rabbits in the number one spot with 83 points. The Jacksonville Icemen with 80 points in the number two spot. The Florida Everblades in the number three spot with 75 points. And the South Carolina Stingrays rounding out your top four with 74 points. Going over to the Western Division, the Western Conference Central Division, got ahead of myself a little bit. The Toledo Walleye in the number one spot with 85 points. The Indy Fuel in the number two spot with 72 points. The Wheeling Nailers in the number three spot with 71 points. And the Fort Wayne Comets holding off the Kalamazoo Wings by 2 points. The Comets hold the number four spot with 69 points. Taking a look at the Mountain Division, we have two teams who have clinched their ticket to the postseason. That is the Kansas City Mavericks, who lead the division with 96 points. The Idaho Steelheads in the number two spot with 86 points. Then we get a little bit of a drop-off. The number three spot, the Tulsa Oilers with 61 points. And the Utah Grizzlies in the number four spot with 59 points. All right, Lou, I think it's time we kind of take a little bit of a broad view of the ECHL as we get closer to the playoffs here, and really kind of look at the battles mostly in the four and the five position. We have a couple of teams who are just really knocking on the door. As I had mentioned, the Kalamazoo Wings only 2 points out of a playoff spot. And in the North Division, we had the Trois-Vieux Lions, who were just 1 point behind the Maine Mariners, looking to make a push. We're fairly similar amount of games played, between 59 and 61 games. Lou, do you see any of these teams, making a strong push to get into the postseason there?
Well, the one thing that the K-Wings are going to be facing is that the Comets ahead of them in the fourth spot there. The Comets have gone 7-3 over their last 10. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And the K-Wings have been playing just .500 hockey now over the last 2 weeks or so. So they need to make some changes to that run and hope that the Comets can hit something of a rough patch. The ECHL is no different from any of the other leagues. They tend to go intramural, if you will, in the last weeks of the season. And so depending on the K-Wings and Comets schedule against each other, I suspect that might be the only way that I think the K-Wings make it in. They're going to have to go head-to-head with the Comets and hope also that the Comets run into a couple of tough matches coming up. In order to make it, but it's getting late enough now that this seems like not a foregone conclusion, but it's going to be really tough, I think, for the K-Wings to make it in. And then the other one was...
Well, also what the Wings do have going for them right now is they do have two games in hand that will definitely help them, yes. Being 2 points back. So, right. But you do have to win those two games.
Absolutely. Right.
yeah.
Right. And still hope that somebody else is going to lose.
Yeah. You need the help.
Right.
And then the Trois-Vieux Lions were 1 point behind the Maine Mariners, both 59 games played, kind of fairly similar record going down in their last 10. Maine Mariners 6-3-1 in their last 10, and the Lions 5-2-2-1 in their last 10.
Yeah, and the thing here is that the Lions have played very well against the Adirondack Thunder. In fact, having taken a couple of games from them last weekend, the Lions have suddenly put together, as you said, that 5-2-2-1 record over the last 10. They're playing very well and making it something of a race for that fourth spot. They are just a point back, and even in games. So I suspect that Maine boy, Maine has not impressed me this year, but the Lions have, as I said, really, really come on of late. I think in comparison or contrast to the K-Wings and Comets, I think, I mean, if I were betting, I might put my money on the Lions continuing okay. this hot streak in the last 10.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see as we go on down the road, as we get closer to the playoffs. I believe we only have about, for most teams, about 10 games left.
That's about it.
Yeah. So looking at the South Division, the 4-5 spot there, I mean, you have the South Carolina Stingrays. They have a 4-point advantage over the Solar Bears. Solar Bears do have a game in hand. Solar Bears haven't been playing bad in their last 10, 6-4 compared to South Carolina's 4-5-1. So, I mean, it could. There's a little bit more of a gap there, but, you know, definitely still within reach. And looking at the Mountain Division, the Allen Americans, 4 points back of the Utah Grizzlies. They have a game in hand, but again, neither team playing outstanding. I don't expect this one. This division, I think, is pretty much set. I don't really, unless the Americans somehow get some great help from Utah just falling out. I don't see this much changing in this division.
No, you know, both of those teams, the Grizzlies as well as the Americans, have been very inconsistent this season. Mm-hmm. Both of them have gone off on streaks to put them in a position of actually contending for that fourth spot. But the Grizzlies don't have a lock on it, and at this point, the Americans don't have a lock on chasing it down either. So it's it's an odd way to look at it. Just to go back to that East race with the South.
Yeah.
The South South Division. Look, we have talked about the South Carolina Stingrays and the Florida Everblades for years, about the consistency of those two franchises and the products that they put out on the ice. The Solar Bears, on the other hand, have been something of a hot mess for a long time. And again, a betting individual, maybe I would put my money on the Stingrays. They always seem to come through in the end.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, all these are going to be, tight finishes to the end, especially in that 4 or 5 spot, that bubble spot.
Sure.
The race I am least concerned about is going to be the Mountain Division. We'll see how it plays out. Yep. Taking a look over at the American Hockey League, or the AHL, as the kids are calling it these days, they have a little bit more of a confusing playoff format, if you will. The playoff field will include the top 6 finishers in the Atlantic Division, the top 5 finishers in the North and Central Divisions, and the top 7 teams in the Pacific Division. So if you got all that, you are a better listener than I. So I'm going to throw that all out the window. We are going to go over the top 4 in each division because I like round numbers and it just happens to work. Taking a look at the Atlantic Division, we have the only team to clinch a playoff spot so far, the Hershey Bears, leading the Atlantic Division with 93 points. We have the Providence Bruins in the number 2 spot with 77 points, the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins in the number 3 spot with 71 points, and the Charlotte Checkers. I haven't heard much from them this year. They're poking their head into the top 4 there with 68 points. Going over to the North Division, we have the Cleveland Monsters on top with 76 points, the Syracuse Crunch chasing them down with 74 points. We have the Rochester Americans in the number 3 spot with 68 points, and the Belleville Baby Sens in the number 4 spot with 65 points. Side note, Toronto Marlies hot on their heels, one game in hand, tied in points. That will be a fun little jousting for position as we go towards the end of the season here. In the Central Division, the Milwaukee Admirals, a team we talked about being really hot, has cooled off. But they are still on top of the division with 77 points. The Grand Rapids Griffins in the number two spot with 71 points. I would like to pause and just mention how flawlessly I said Grand Rapids Griffins this time. All right, the number three spot, the Rockford Ice Hogs in, I already said they're in the number three spot, with 65 points, and the Texas Stars rounding out your top four with 62 points. In the Pacific Division, we have the Coachella Valley Firebirds in the number one spot with 82 points, the Colorado Eagles continuing to play, fairly well in the number two spot with 76 points. Right behind them, the Tucson Roadrunners with 75 points, and the Ontario Reign in the number four spot with 71 points. And did I read that? If you cast your mind back to what I was reading, how all this works out, the top seven teams from the Pacific Division, that means the Abbotsford Canucks are in the playoffs right now. But we'll get to that here in just a minute. Lou, let's take another look at, the AHL like we looked at the ECHL, okay. The close playoff matches. So going by the qualifications here, the top six finishers in the Atlantic. So the 6 and 7 spot in the Atlantic, which would be the Lehigh Valley Phantoms and the Springfield Thunderbirds. This is, they're separated by 3 points right now. Lehigh has a game in hand, and they're 3 points up on Springfield as we start moving towards the postseason here. Do you have a feeling that this is a spot that could flip, or do we think that the Atlantic Division is set with their top six?
I think the Atlantic is set with the top six, not necessarily in the order that we see it in right now.
Right, right.
But I think... No, but some of the others I think are a lock. But that 6 and 7 spot, I don't see the Springfield Thunderbirds catching up. And we don't know what the St. Louis Blues have in store for the Thunderbirds. Because the Blues are, we're going to talk about the NHL here in a bit. But I would suspect maybe some call-ups are going to help, knock the Thunderbirds a bit. The Phantoms are probably set for the time being. The Flyers are, for the most part, healthy. Mm-hmm. Although there's trouble brewing on Broad Street with Sean Couturier being benched, healthy scratch. Yeah. So we've got issues in Philadelphia. But in terms of these two spots, I think the way you just reeled them off, I think these two spots are where they're going to end up the season. Springfield on the outside looking in.
All right. So as we look at the North and the Central divisions, we have the top five spots in each making the playoffs. So as we look, the Toronto Marlies are in. The Laval Rockets are on the outside looking in right now, 3 points behind the Marlies. The Marlies have 2 games in hand, so their destiny is pretty much within their control. Is this another division where we see the top five, not necessarily in this order, but the top five right now are the ones who make the playoffs?
Yes, I do. I don't think the Marlies have been inconsistent as well this season, but those around them have demonstrated even less consistency than their own. And the reason the Rocket are in the position that they are in is because the Canadians are pretty thin in depth. So that's where we're sitting there. But I think your recitation there with them in the fifth spot is how it's going to end.
Okay. Let's go to the Central Division. Again, the top five here are going to be making the playoffs. And I like to keep this one nice, concise, neat, and trim, just like you could trim yourself up from our sponsors at Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com/prohockeynews. Save yourself 20% off your purchase and keep yourself nice and trim and looking good like you know you should. This one's pretty easy to rule out. Unfortunately, the Chicago Wolves, outside looking in the number six spot, they are a full 7 points back behind the Manitoba Moose. They do have a game in hand. I don't think that's going to be enough to give them much hope to make it to the postseason. Manitoba has been playing really great as of late as well. They're 8-2-0 against Chicago's 4-4-1-1. I think we call it top five in the order.
This is the division that I was referring to when we first started with the AHL. I think the order that we went through, that's the lock for them for the postseason.
All right. So that leaves the Pacific Division, and they get a whopping 7 teams to make the postseason in a very confusing ladder. AHL, please change your format. I don't get this. But as we went through the top four, Coachella Valley Firebirds, the Colorado Eagles, Tucson Roadrunners, Ontario Reign, Bakersfield Condors in the number five spot, the Calgary Wranglers in the number six spot, and the Abbotsford Canucks in the number seven spot. The 7-8 spot here is where we could see anything. But again, I think this is a lot like the Central Division. There's a steep drop off from 7-8. I think right now the top seven are locked in. You're going to see some movement in the 6-7, maybe the 5 spot. There's a chance that we're going to see some movement there, but I think everybody else is pretty much locked into their spot.
I do too. The Henderson Silver Knights are holding down that 8th spot. They have been terribly inconsistent this season. Due in no small part to call-ups with Vegas showing some injury problems over the last couple of months. So I think that they're out of it, and the Gulls on down are out. The teams ahead of the Wranglers, and in fact, the Wranglers, you know, look, the Wranglers were in first place for a good part of the season. Mm-hmm. But they went through some injuries and call-ups to the Flames. So their inconsistency has cost them all the way down to that 7th spot. I don't see them really making that big of a push up the ladder here. The teams ahead of them, the one that's surprising is that the Bakersfield Condors have also had an up-and-down season. There's really no one in the AHL that's had a consistent season outside of maybe Providence and Hershey back east. Mm-hmm. Ontario has made this big push here. Tucson also had shared time at the top spot in the Pacific, and now they're sitting in the 3rd spot. But they are, I believe, they're comfortably in that 3rd spot. I think the top three here are probably locked as well.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep an eye on things as they develop in the AHL as we start moving towards the postseason. Lou, I think that's probably the most comprehensive we've done on just the standings. That actually felt pretty good. I like that.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you like us doing a little bit more of this, please comment in this. If you're listening on Spotify, you could send us some messages. Let us know what you like. If you like hearing more of these stats, conversations about, you know, standing order and, you know, season schedules. Let us know what you'd like to hear more of. We'd love to be able to accommodate for you because you're taking the time to listen to us. All right. We got some NHL news going on. Anybody who's a hockey fan is, you know, plugged into the Athletics playoff chances. Those are updated just about every morning. And I thought it was very interesting. You know, they're going through multiple simulations of the remaining seasons, and they're calculating each player's potential offensive and defensive stats. But as of right now, giving you know, the best chances from each conference to make and win the Stanley Cup, if I read their prediction correctly, we are in store for a Carolina-Edmonton Stanley Cup final. According to The Athletic, the Carolina Hurricanes have a 22% chance of winning the Stanley Cup this year, and Edmonton has a 15% chance of winning the Stanley Cup. So, given those numbers, it looks like we are going to have a Carolina Hurricanes Stanley Cup championship team. I have a hard time believing that right now. But that is not why I am known for my predictions. Although I feel like I'm doing fairly well with our picks, at least on the second line. Don't pay attention to me on the first line. That's a totally different person, an imposter. Don't yeah. listen to him. Anyways, Lou, what are your feelings? Like, do you think right now, are we in store for a potential Carolina-Edmonton Stanley Cup final?
So, two answers. You have okay. an evil. You have your evil twin on the first line. My evil twin is on my shoulder here. So, okay. First off, I don't think so. Certainly not out of the East. Out of the West, I don't think so. Out of the West either. Do you want my druthers?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I have a feeling that Dallas will be the West representative. Just a sneaky suspicion, the way they have been coached this year and the way the game, their game has been managed, they will be the West representative with a West Coast conference championship between them and the Colorado Avalanche. In the East, part of me wants the Rangers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, of course.
I can't root against them.
And they're having a good year. Why not? This is a good chance for
them. I would like them to be there. Again, for much the same reason as the Dallas Stars, I think the Rangers have been managed and coached like they have never been coached before. I think Peter Laviolette, who I've never really been impressed with, although he does have a cup to his credit, two cups. Mm-hmm. Yes, two cups, excuse me. And he just won his 1,500th game last night. There is something different about this squad that I have not seen in many decades. I don't know that they'll make it. I want them to make it. If not them, I just don't see Carolina. I've never had the faith in Carolina to make it to the cup. Okay. I don't know. I don't know where this sense of confidence that others have in the Hurricanes. I just don't. I don't have that. And maybe this is the year I'm proven wrong.
I don't know if I'm sold on the Hurricanes. 2 years ago, I was, fully on board. Yeah, let's go, bunch of jerks. Yeah. They were looking good, but I mean, this year they have so much competition in the Metropolitan. It's going to be brutal for them to get out of the first round. So, I don't know. But this is not why I make these numbers. I don't make these numbers. So, but this got me thinking. Yes. We always do our way too early season projections. So we do make our projections. We just don't give any stats behind them. It's all about gut instinct. And sometimes our gut instinct is spot on. I have Florida winning the Atlantic. Lou, you have Toronto. They're in the top three. Florida has maybe a little bit better chance of winning the Atlantic.
Yes.
That's just one example. But I kind of want to go back through our early season predictions because we are known to change them a little bit as the season goes on due to unforeseen, blindness on our part. We're not going to go through the different divisions because the divisions are outside of the Central. The divisions are pretty much set. There's not a whole lot of competition for the top spot, at least at this point in the season. You have maybe two teams battling, except for the Central. Let's look at the Eastern and Western Conference. I want to get your prediction. You mentioned you have Dallas now as your Western Conference champion, which you had early on in the season. Both you and I have picked Dallas to represent the Western Conference in the Stanley Cup. Now, I know you just mentioned that you have a good feeling about them. Do you have any sort of thought that is going to change, or are you going to keep that locked in?
Conference champion?
Yep.
No, I'm going to stick with Dallas. As much as I like Vancouver, many pundits, of whom we are two, typically we are three, have overlooked the Canucks, and they are I think they would be my dark horse.
Okay.
I don't see Edmonton. I don't know. I just don't see Edmonton doing it.
Okay. I don't know if I want to, because I do have that feeling about Dallas too. They're brewing something there in Texas, and I don't know when it's going to be ready. It's been brewing all season long, but they've been giving Winnipeg and Colorado such a good chance to get back in this race when they could have pulled far ahead. Colorado has just hit their stride right now.
Yeah, yeah.
They've won seven straight. I know that's not a pace you're going to keep up going down the stretch, but that gives me good hope. I think the Western Conference champion is coming out of the Central Division, and I think it's going to be Colorado. I think they are ready to make a return trip to the Stanley Cup final.
Okay, so let me put the fly in the ointment and get your opinion on this.
Okay.
The Nashville Predators point streak has hit 16 games.
Mm-hmm.
At you can't get this at a better time of the year. I mean, the only thing better than this would be five games deeper into the, you know, five games closer to the end.
Right.
You know, so that they would be assured of that playoff spot. Do you see them continuing this? How much more do you see them continuing this run? They've got a couple of tough games coming up. I do believe they are playing the Avalanche soon. How much more beyond 16 games do you see?
Their point streak? I mean,
yeah. And as a result, you know, how does that translate? You know, do you see that translating into the postseason? Because I have them as a lock for the playoffs.
So we have them in a game for our Saturday picks. They are playing the Detroit Red Wings at home.
Mm.
I think they're going to get a point there. I think the point streak ends the following Tuesday when they host the Vegas Golden Knights.
Okay.
I think that's when the point streak's going to end. So 17 games max, although, I mean, Detroit did have that 7-game skid, and that really hurt them.
Right.
But they've been playing okay since they snapped that. But yeah, I mean, Nashville's just been...
Yeah, I didn't want to derail us too much, but you know, a tip of the hat to them for 16 games.
16, yeah. I think 17 is where it ends. They'll get at least a point against Detroit. I think it ends in regulation against the Vegas Golden Knights.
Okay. All right.
But then you have Arizona and then Colorado. You're on the road in Arizona and then on the road in Colorado.
It ends within the next three.
It ends by the end of the month.
Yeah.
Okay. So going back to our way too early predictions, I have changed to Colorado. Lou is staying with Dallas. Let's look at the East. Who's going to be the Eastern Conference representative? And you did early on, you had the New York Rangers as your Eastern Conference champion.
Yeah, that was obviously.
I know that was more heart than head, early. But
yes, that was all heart. There was no head in that. That was all heart. But I think if I look at this from a 70-30 split between head and heart, I'm going to stick with the Rangers. And
all right.
Panarin scored his 41st goal of the season last night. I think it was his third hat trick of the season in a 5-2 win over the Bruins. But more importantly than that, Igor Shesterkin is now seeing beach balls and not BBs in making stops. He had that wicked, wicked January, and he has recovered from that. But even more importantly than that, Jonathan Quick is the number two goalie on Broadway, and there is who has more success as a goaltender in the NHL in this era than Jonathan Quick. Three Stanley Cups. This guy's got ice in his veins, and bottom line, I'm going to stick with the Rangers.
Okay. So my way too early season prediction to go into the Stanley Cup for the Eastern Conference is no longer really being talked about in the playoff format, in the playoff situation. The New Jersey Devils are not really anywhere near the playoffs right now. So I think I'm going to want to modify that one. And I know it will be easy to go, oh, well, you know, the Bruins, the Rangers, you know, the Panthers could make another deep run.
Where are you going?
Oh, man. I mean, you know where my head wants to go.
Yes.
Where my heart wants to go.
Heart, yeah.
My heart wants to go to Boston. And, man, they're not the same team as we saw last year, obviously. They've lost some pieces. They've lost a couple of steps. But they are still a solid team.
Yep.
And, I mean, they're starting to pull away in the Atlantic Division, but that does worry me. I think, oh boy. This is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
Man, I don't want to do this, but I'm taking Boston. I got the Homer Stanley Cup. I'm going to be a Richard Divided here if this comes true, which means I won't be upset, but I'm also not going to be like wholeheartedly on one side. This is going to be the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So between the two, who is your Stanley Cup champion?
Oh, so between the Rangers and the Stars.
Yeah.
If it's the Rangers and the Stars, I am going to go Rangers in six games.
Okay. Oh boy. If it is Boston and Colorado, oh boy. No matter what, I want this going seven games, obviously. But do I want another parade here in Denver?
You don't lose.
I don't lose, and then I lose as well. It's been a while since I've seen Boston win a Stanley. Boston, seven games.
Okay.
In Boston.
Interesting that we both picked the East.
Which
conference do you think is the more difficult?
The conference I think is the more difficult. I think the East is – the talent in the East is very well spread. So I think no matter who you face in the East, it's going to be extremely tough. The West is very top-heavy, though.
Yes.
Because once you get out of the first three teams in each division in the West, you got a pretty steep drop-off. I know Nashville's making some noise. Even – Vegas, like, they have a bunch of talent, but they're not playing particularly well right now. They've dropped all the way to the second wild card.
Yes.
And then after that, it's, I mean, there's nobody after Vegas being talked about in the playoff situation. There's a little wiggle room up in the East. You know, the Capitals are making some noise. The Islanders falling a little bit, but they're still within a reasonable grasp. So at least four teams after your division winners are being talked about for or two wildcard spots. I don't know if that's so much of, you know, the amount of skill that's in the East. I feel like it's just more spread out. I feel like the teams are going to face in the East are just more evenly spread.
In the East, by the time the playoffs come along, everyone has been tested. Their mettle has been tested by the time the playoffs come in the East. It just seems to be that just seems to be the way it is. Mm-hmm. The only real soft teams in the East this year, Ottawa and the Blue Jackets. In the West, I think you put the nail to it earlier when you said that the West was top heavy, and that's absolutely true. You know, the old adage of anybody can beat anybody else on a given night in the NHL, just I don't think that holds true in the West.
No.
So, you know, it's time to get healthy on the bottom dwellers.
All right. Well, there are our modified way too early season predictions now towards the way too late in the season predictions, but we will see how those pan out. I will be doing this with Adam and Lonnie again next week on the First Line, so stay tuned for that. We got more news in the NHL. I figure we might want to talk about this because there's a little bit of history that happened this week, Lou. I don't know if you're familiar with a major milestone that happened about 30 years ago in the NHL. It happened on March 23rd. So 30 years ago tomorrow, as we're recording this on Friday, March 22nd, March 23rd, 1994. Can't believe the 90s are 30 years ago. We had a major milestone met. Do you have any idea what it was?
I haven't got a clue, and I did not cheat and dive into this one. So no, I do not have a clue.
That was the date which Wayne Gretzky passed Gordie Howe as the all-time goals leader in the NHL. I set this up because we have Alex Ovechkin, who is about, 49 goals away from surpassing Wayne Gretzky. If he meets his average next season, we could be talking about it at about this point next year. So in 2025, we could be talking about Alex Ovechkin passing Wayne Gretzky's record about this time in March. I just found that kind of interesting. As we mentioned, he's 49 goals away. He was very quiet to start the season. He's recently gone on a bit of a tear. You know, he's being left alone in his office, and that's where he gets his work done. I did a little bit of math. He's averaging about 44 goals per season. I kind of wanted to modify that a little bit because he is getting a little bit on age. In the last four seasons, he's averaging about 35 goals a season. So if he can finish this season within 40 goals of Gretzky, I think next season, about this time in March, we're talking about the new NHL regular season goals leader. Career goals, not just regular season. So I don't know, just found that interesting.
Yes.
All right. I guess kind of one more thing I kind of want to talk about here. There was an article I came across from the Toronto Sun. It was done by Don Brennan of the Toronto Sun. And the title of the article is Cheating Within the Rules. And it talks about the Vegas Golden Knights' attempt to skirt the rules when it comes to the salary cap. And this, of course, if anybody's paying attention to what's going on in the league, comes as no surprise as we're talking about Mark Stone's possible return to the lineup come playoffs when the salary cap no longer is there, essentially. If you have somebody on the LTIR, they don't count towards the salary cap. they can come back in the playoffs and they can be eligible for your team, and that's not counted against your salary cap. I mean, Vegas isn't the first team to do this, and it's all part of the league's collective bargaining agreement, which isn't up for renewal until 2026, I believe. So, I mean, Vegas isn't the first team to do this. Other teams have done this in the past. The Lightning have been one of the other clubs that have been very, been the target of a little bit of the frustration that other teams have felt. But Lou, I kind of want to get your opinion on this when it comes to the salary cap and the LTIR and the playoffs and the way that the rules are made right now. Do you feel that this is a way of skirting the rules, or is this actually following the rules?
It's following the rules. What it's skirting is fair play, maybe, but it's certainly within the rules. Tampa has been doing this for years. How many times have we heard Kucherov has been on the LTR towards the end of the season, and then magically he comes back? Mm-hmm. If this is the way the NHL and NHLPA have negotiated it, I guess as much as I might not like it, kudos to the Tampa Bay Lightning for managing their inflated salary in this way. And if this is what it takes for Vegas to get through to the playoffs, maybe shame on the rest of the league for not doing the same thing.
I mean, exactly. You have an opportunity for teams to be doing the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. But they're not, which makes me kind of think of maybe this is just, it's not exactly bending the rules or towing the line, whatever you want to call it. Maybe this is just like unfortunate incidents to players who are gone for an extended period of time, who are still signed on with their club, who should still be eligible to play in the playoffs, but they're hurt because, I don't know if you know this, hockey's kind of a contact sport. People get injured, especially late in the season. When you get tired, when you've been playing a lot, injuries do happen. And it feels unfortunate to kind of label these players or these teams as somehow bending the rules to have success in the playoffs. I mean, if a player becomes injured who has a high, hit to the salary cap, maybe you keep them on a little bit longer. But that also hurts your chances, like we're seeing with Vegas right now. That hurts your chances of even making the postseason, because right now Vegas is holding on by a thread. They could potentially fall out of that second wild card. If they go on a major slump, they would miss the wild card. They are pretty safe to get that. But if there was any competition, this would definitely hurt their chance to make it into the postseason. And then their cheating or skirting the rules, that gamble would not have paid off.
Look, this has been going on for how many years now? What did the Athletics say in terms of how long this has been going back?
It was the Toronto Sun that did the
Toronto the Sun. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. Toronto. Yeah. You did say that. Yeah. It was the Athletic on the other right. Topic. Sorry. But this has been going on for years. Mm-hmm. And so if this was a major flagrant foul of the letter of the policy, then it would have been corrected years ago. Right. But as I said, the union and the NHL have not done anything about it, and I think in the end it's probably not so bad. The product on the ice improves during the postseason because teams like the Tampa Bay Lightning can protect Kucherov, who is a bona fide star of the league, and right. Now he's performing at his best because he's had time to rest. And in the meantime, his salary gets is not counted against the cap. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's all, if it were illegal or there's something not illegal, but in violation of the policy, then yes, then we've got a problem. But if, as long as it's not a violation of the policy, go for it.
Yeah. And I don't know. I see it as if, I mean, you have a star player. If they do get hurt, and by the time they're healthy and eligible to play, you should be able to play them. They should not be punished to not compete in the postseason because they got hurt late in the season.
That's right. I got you.
Those are my two cents on that. All right, Lou, I know you have some feelings on our last topic here, on the situation of a one Tom Wilson of the Washington Capitals. Well, since you brought this up before we started recording, I'd like for you to set this one up.
Yeah, so earlier this week, Wilson was whistled for a stick to the head of Noah Gregor of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Wilson and Gregor were battling along the right boards, and Wilson took a two-handed stick to the face, not the head, but the face of Gregor, and then put a bear hug around him, apparently to... It looks to me like he's trying to hide the fact that otherwise Gregor would have gone to the ice. This is the sixth time that Wilson has gone to Department of Player Safety. And he received a 6-game suspension, which, in my opinion, and I realize, you know, this will irritate Washington Caps fans, or, you know, fans of this kind of hockey, but I just think six games are not enough. This is not enough to send a message. He's going to be rested if the Caps make the playoffs, which is a distinct possibility. If going back to the Lightning, if they hit a snag, or the Detroit Red Wings hit a snag, they could also get into the third spot, but it's a bit of a stretch in the Metropolitan if the Flyers fall off. Wilson is a blemish, a blot, a blight on the NHL. This is a thug, and his only redeeming quality is that when he mugged the New York Rangers in the last game of the season 3 years ago, I think it was, where he tossed Artemi Panarin around like a rag doll, threw him to the ice, and regardless of the team, he could have caused either major damage to a once and future star of the league, or maimed him, or worse. The way Panarin was tossed to the ice. And the redeeming quality is that it made the Rangers a far better team in the intervening years, made them a tougher team to the point where they now have Matt Rempe on the roster, although he's on a he's finished his 4-game suspension. That's the only thing that Tom Wilson has done good for the league. He made other teams tougher because he is such a threat to the health and well-being of the opposition players.
Yeah, seeing the replay of this.
You're seeing it, yeah.
Okay, yeah, good. I've seen the play. I mean, there's no excuse for it. And it's... In my mind, this is just classic Tom Wilson.
Oh.
The 6 games, I mean, maybe that's the most that the league could dish out for this kind of infraction. But we know he is a repeat offender. He has been in front of the Department of Player Safety many times. And just... I see him. He's reacting to a high stick from Gregor that caught him in the chest. But then he turns around and a full-on swing into the face of Gregor. That's inexcusable. And yes, there I see the physical height difference between the two, and Wilson is, you know, quite a bit taller. But I mean, retaliation is not, you're gonna get called. Like, it just comes down to that. If you're the retaliatory player, if something's wronged on you and you retaliate, you're going to be the one to get called. So there's no excuse for even swinging your stick at him.
No,
maybe, give him a little bit of a jab along the boards as you skate by, but there's no need to swing a stick at his face.
No, Gregor was probably nothing more than a hook.
Yeah.
It wasn't, it wasn't a swing to the chest. He was preventing him from getting past.
Yeah.
Maybe a hold, interference, something like that. But this was a two-handed hatchet job.
Yeah.
And then he puts his hands up as, what, me?
Right.
what did I do?
You were Tom Wilson. That's why you got the call. I would have loved to have Wes McCauley mic'd up to get a call from that. Like, yeah, you did it. Get
right.
out of here.
Right.
You clown. that would have been great. But we can't have everything that we want. Anyways. Nope. I mean, six games, I'm sure that's the maximum that the league and the union would agree upon for an infraction like this, even though he is a repeat offender. I'll agree. It doesn't seem like enough to send a message, but yeah.
If I understand correctly, from some of the pundits, our colleagues across the broadcasting systems, I think seven might have been an option here as well. Six is probably pretty standard, but to really send a message to somebody like Wilson, I think they could have gone to seven.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's dished out now. You can't do much to change it, it does seem a little lacking.
Right. And thanks for the chance to opine on it,
Yeah. All right. I guess it's that time. It is time for the PHN picks of the week. Let's do a little bit of a recap of last week. Jacob, our young entrepreneur, is not here to gloat over his 4-1 victory over Lou and myself. Lou and I both going 3-2. And Jacob making up just a little bit of ground. He's about four picks back of Lou this season. We'll see how things shake up as we have five more games. Let's start with these are some really good games happening this Saturday. Okay. A lot of playoff implications. Game number one, Winnipeg at the New York Islanders. Lou, who you got?
Oh, this is actually, this is interesting. The Jets really took care of business on Broadway. They beat the Rangers 4-1, then lost in Newark the next day. Mm-hmm. I see them bouncing back. Give me the Jets.
Okay. This one, I feel like New York is just in a little bit more of a desperate spot, but I don't know if they have the firepower to get past the Jets. I think I'm going to take Winnipeg as well in that one. All right. Game number two, Detroit at Nashville, two teams who would like to stay where they're at in the playoff picture. Lou, who you got?
Well, you have Dylan Larkin, who came back last night, scored a goal in the Detroit Red Wings win. But I do not see them ending the Predators' run on points. And so I will take Nashville on this one.
All right. You know, I've got a feeling about this game. I've got a feeling about Detroit. And maybe it has something to do with Nashville's home record this year, 19-15-1. Not that Detroit's road record is much better, which is fairly similar. But I have a feeling that Detroit's going to be sneaky in this one. I'm going Detroit. All right. Game number three. We have the Edmonton Oilers at the Toronto Maple Leafs. Lou, who you got?
Ooh, this is a good one. Boy, this is – that's a tough call. In Toronto, right?
Correct.
Hockey night in Canada.
Yep.
I am going to go out on a limb and annoy Jacob and say I'm going to take the Maple Leafs on this one.
I'm going the Maple Leafs as well. I learned my lesson last week. You don't go against Toronto on hockey night in Canada. It just doesn't work, especially when they're at home. You know, it doesn't work. It doesn't end well for you. All right. Game number four, we have the Florida Panthers at the New York Rangers. Lou, do I just put you down for the Rangers?
Yep.
Okay. I hate to go against you because I would love to see Florida just lose a little ground to Boston, but Florida's still got some fight in them. I'm going to take them in this game. No disrespect, Lou. All right, game number five. And you know what? I think this is going to be sneakily the best game of the night. Tampa Bay at the Kings. Lou, who you got?
You know, I've been keeping an eye on the Kings. Since Jim Hiller took over the All-Star break, they have been the Kings of early this season. And I still don't have a lot of faith in the Lightning. Give me the Kings. Kopitar is playing well. Kempe is playing well. Drew Doughty and Cam Talbot has been solid in net.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Kings as well. Just looking at Tampa Bay's away record. I know they've won five straight, but 17-16-2 on the road for the season. I know they had a rough start, but that's not looking in their favor. So I will take the Kings in that one. There you go. There are our PHN picks of the week. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at PHN Podcast. And if you use the hashtag PHN Picks, you could share your picks with us and see how well you stack up against myself and Dr. Lou Lafredo. All right. Parting thoughts. Lou, what's on your mind this week?
Parting thoughts. Here's my parting thought. You know that I have had issues with the women's professional hockey leagues since they really blossomed a few years ago. We did support the championship series with the cutout in the stands during the COVID years. I was a bit hesitant about the Professional Women's Hockey League this season, but they have improved dramatically. Their web presence and their push on news and social media. And so kudos to the PWHL this season. And they are appearing on our pages over at prohockeynews.com.
Excellent. Well, my parting thought this week has actually nothing to do with hockey, nothing to do with sports, cars, food. It has to do with social media. And I am curious how this is happening. I'm sure there's some weird algorithm to it. But for the past week, I have been logging into my Facebook page. I have been seeing the same comment that has not gotten any more likes or interactions posted at the very top of my feed all week long. It's not a sponsored ad. It's a post from a friend of mine who lives out in Boston complaining about an MLS game. And I think it's gotten like one like and one interaction. But for the entire week, it has stayed at the very top of my news feed. And I'm curious, How did he do that? What kind of sorcery did he put on my page? And how can we do that for the Pro Hockey News podcast and get our feeds to stay at the top of everybody's page?
Yeah.
Todd Dukert, if you are listening, please let me know how you did that. I know you have some high-tech sorcery that you did to make that happen. All right. Well, thank you to all of our sponsors, My Custom Sports Chair, the Chicago Wolves Merchandise Store, Manscaped, and LDE Affinity Jewelry. Thank you to Lulafredo for joining me here on the podcast. And thanks to you listeners for making us a part of your routine. I will be talking to all of you on the first line and making our adjustments to our predictions next week.